Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. This is our Prophecy Reality Edition. Thank everyone for showing up. As I really don't have anything planned for this hour, I do have a few news things and some emails. And Michael sent me this. He says, "Hi Nicholas, been really busy with lots of different stuff." So he's not in the chat room. This is Michael Eugene. He used to produce here with me. He moved back to Florida with his mother, and she's in her 80s. So to help her out, that's a good thing. We should all take care of our parents when it falls to us. That's part of the things that we're allowed to do. That's part of the what James called true religion, okay, is to take care of the widows and the orphans, and it begins with your own family. He said, "I look for some news, but nothing but the same old rhetoric." He says, "True News talked about the third temple in the video below to show into the show so you don't have to listen to the whole thing. I think they've been reading my book," he says. They talk about how they think Trump is going to build the third temple. Well, not a whole lot new there. He sent me a CBN video and a YouTube of True News there, and I did watch those. Like I said, not a whole lot knew that we didn't say years ago. It's just catching up with me now. Of course, they have a lot more money, a lot better production equipment. You know, they got the $100,000 cameras and the $500,000 studios. So when they say it a year after me or 2 years after me or 5 years after me, it's much more important. Okay, so thank you for that, Michael. And he's right, there's not a whole lot new going on. Seeing things seem to be progressing over there in the Mideast toward the building of the temple. What's his name? The mouth of the beast, Trump. Yeah, is in the year, this year, 2017, or in December 2017. And he was talking to Mahmoud Abbas. Now, that's the Palestinian guy over there. And this after... Now, they said that he didn't sign the waiver that was holding back the move of the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem. He just said, okay, let's do what the law says, because the law was written, you know, the act was passed, the Jerusalem Embassy Act was passed in the 1990s, and every president since then, if you don't know, I'm telling you again. If you already knew, I'm telling you again. If you don't know, you're hearing it for the first time, maybe, that every 6 months a waiver has been signed, because the law said that a waiver must be signed to put it off for 6 months. And every president that's whoever's been president since, I think, 1996, when the Jerusalem Embassy Act was signed in Congress to move the American embassy to Jerusalem, every 6 months, every president has signed the waiver until the waiver just came up. I think it was last month or the month before, just recently here. And Trump signed it the first time. Yeah. He says, we're going to take care of that later, because it was early in his presidency when the waiver came up again. But the second time the waiver came up, he said, nope, we're going to do it. So he let the law pass, and now it's the law. Like the law of the Medes and Persians, it must be done. There's no way back, right? Okay, so that's, so there were a lot of people got mad about it and said there's going to be, just going to cause more violence. But here we got Trump talking to Mahmoud Abbas. So it seems like they're going to move ahead. And I believe if you read my book, and you can get a copy of this book for free. That is an e-copy, because, you know, I can send you electronic, ones and zeros in the form of a PDF for almost nothing, except maybe a little bit of my attention of when the third temple was built. My latest book here, it's an easy read, just a little over 100 pages, and you can buy a copy too. It's like $10 plus shipping if you go to my website and to get the book page, scroll down to the bottom. And it says there are low-cost pocketbook editions available. But like I said, you can get a PDF for free. Just go to the free ebook tab there on my website at crosstheborder.org. And make sure you request the book. you want. If you just say, send me the book, you can read the comments where people say, send me the book. Well, if you don't specify, I'm going to send you, the rapture will be canceled. So if you want a different book, you have to specify it, okay? All right. But I'll send you any of our publications there in a PDF form. Yeah, any of them, especially my books. And we have a number of publications there for your edification when the Third Temple is built. We have History Unveiling Prophecy or Time as an Interpreter, published by Cross Border Publishing. We also have Key to the Apocalypse, and you'll want that one. We also have The Last Prophecy, Hori Apocalypticae 2015, which is an abridgment of E.B. Eliot's great work, The Hori Apocalypticae. And if you'd like to read The Hori Apocalypticae, we're also publishing that on a website, okay? And let me show you that here. If you go to horiapocalypticae.wordpress.com, you'll find this here. And all I have is volume one up because I'm doing a final edit. I hired a guy, I don't know if any of you remember Richard, who used to be here several years ago, and then he left and he's off wandering somewhere. I don't know where he is. He doesn't keep in contact with me, so that's okay. Nobody's required to do anything to keep in contact with me. So he keeps in contact with the Holy Spirit and keeps his walk with Christ continuous. Anyway, so here it is, horiapocalypticae.wordpress.com. But what I'm doing is I'm republishing the entire Hori Apocalypticae. And Richard did kind of a good job. At least he got the thing into text for me, you know, in open office for me, so we published it once. But I want it perfected. So I'm going through every word, and as I finish each chapter or section, I'm publishing it here. As you can see, all of the red here is published on horiapocalypticae.wordpress.com, and I've got it published till, well, let me refresh this. I think I'm further than that. Okay. Oh yeah. See, I am further than that. And I've got it published, till, part two, the seventh seal, etc., and chapter six, and which means I'm working on chapter seven, which is the last chapter of volume one of the Hori Apocalypticae. And what a fantastic read. I'm really enjoying going through it meticulously, slowly, and absorbing it all again with much more understanding than I had the first time I read the Hori Apocalypticae. So you can just do that. Go to horiapocalypticae.wordpress.com there, and you can complete that journey with me, because as I get each one, you're going to have to do a little catch-up to catch up with me. And make sure that you subscribe there so that each time I publish a new chapter or section, because I'm working on chapter 7 right now of this section, the sixth or second woe trumpet. And so that should be up soon. And you'll get a notification if you subscribe to the blog there. There'll be a follow button that shows up somewhere, usually in the lower right-hand corner when you go to the page to follow the blog. And then after that, I'm going through the appendices. And I'm even going through, and I'm moving all of the Hebrew and Greek out of the text, out of the, you know, the context, the text, and I'm moving it all to the footnotes, so that you can read it continuously without tripping over the Latin, the Greek, and the Hebrew. But I'm not removing it from the text, I'm just moving it to the footnotes. So you'll find all the Greek, Hebrew, and Latin will now be footnoted, rather than, you know, for scholars who know all those languages, you know, they read all this English and they just keep reading because they know those, okay? So I'm trying to make it easier to read, but I'm not changing anything. Some archaic grammar in there, and I'm trying to correcting that and making some small changes, but I don't want to change the meaning of the text. So this is a copyrighted work But it's here free, you know, for you on this website. And when I get it done, or when I get this volume done, I'll start offering where people can buy hardback, because I want to make a nice hardback four volume edition for people, for a more scholarly type, for people's library. Also will be available in paperback too. So that's coming as soon as I get volume one done. And I'm going to continuously work on this. This is like one of my main jobs, editing right now, that I'm doing. So this is something I'm doing for the body of Christ and for Across the Border Publishing, which is our ministry here. And perhaps may in the future bring a little income through publishing. And I have the appendices to go through here, and I'm even looking forward to going through those too. One is notice of arguments, so there are arguments there. Counter-structural scheme, so he looks at other schemes of interpretation. The Roman coinage, and stuff like that. Specific objections to certain of my explanations on various points in this volume. So he answers the critics in there too. So we will be doing the appendices too. So you'll make sure you want to follow. That's horeyapocalyptike.wordpress.com. And for you listening live, I'm going to actually put that in the chat room. Anyway, enjoy that. Make sure you subscribe there and follow. And you'll get true history. And history is very important, understanding God's Word. And, you know, God thought history was so important that he began the Bible with it. And you'll see that much of the Bible, probably at least half of the Bible, is history. So history is very important. We got to know where we come from and where we're going to. The Heavenly Father thought it was very important. He has many lessons to teach us by history, by the history that was before his nation up until the flood, by the history to the flood, Exodus, and then the national Israel, the time in the wilderness, all that history there, and then the history of national Israel up until the time Jesus came. And then from there, we don't have any history, except we have history in the Revelation. And that's what the Hore Apocalyptike is about, that God gave us history in advance in the Revelation. So he's fully equipped us with entire history, and he tells us about history yet future with the millennium, and then the new heaven and new earth, and our eternal state. We see some clues of the promises there that we have in future history that the Almighty gives as his gift to us, his elect. So one, make sure that you are part of his elect and that you allow his Holy Spirit to work in your life. Do not blaspheme the Holy Spirit, but allow him to work that work of repentance in your life and to lead you into life and to walk in his kingdom in that narrow way, and to pick up your cross and follow him, as the Messiah says. It's your cross that you must pick up to follow him, because it is, you're crucifying the deeds of the flesh. You are allowing the Holy Spirit to do that work of perfection in you, that washing by the water of his word. Watch programs like this and other programs that build you up. As a matter of fact, get your Prophecy Reality News app on your phone, you know. Get it on your phone, and you can listen to a lot of good teaching all day long on First Amendment Radio. Prophecy Reality. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ, of Yahshua, the Messiah. So don't neglect it. You have it there. I carry it with me when I'm not around. One, because, you know, it's kind of my job to monitor First Amendment Radio, because it's part of my ministry. It's part of Across the Border Publishing Ministries to you know, offer First Amendment Radio out there. And these First Amendment rights are founded upon what Martin Luther did so many years ago when he nailed his 95 thesis to the door of the church at Wittenberg. There he proclaimed, you know, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and freedom of thought, and all of the freedoms that are now, you know, in the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States of America, that you see expressed there in the words of that amendment. So we enjoy those and we realize where they came from. And we use them to proclaim liberty to the captives. And the words that set us free, the Word of God. Okay, what else do we got? Let me see what else I got in my mailbag. I've got a few more things here. Oh, you know, I'm telling you about these people, man, that, that every week in my mailbox, I get this kind of stuff. This has a lot to do with Hebrew roots kind of stuff, but these are evangelicals that worship Jews. And, you know, from there you can go into Hebrew roots, but they do worship Jews, you know, because I don't know why they think, because they believe that God, that the Jews today are God's chosen people. No, God's chosen people are the elect, whether they're Jews or Gentile or Greek or Japanese or you name it. You know, whether they're from Peru or Mexico or Brazil, New York City, California, you know, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, it doesn't matter. Australia, yeah, even the UK, you know, it doesn't matter. If you're the elect of God, you are His chosen people. It's not that nation. Remember, 70 weeks are determined. 70 weeks are over. They ended, you know, 2,000 years ago. And God, by His mercy, you know, from the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ, when He put an end to the sacrifice and oblation by the sacrifice of Himself, He gave them 40 more years to survive as a nation before the desolation came. That was His mercy. And that was to give His disciples and their disciples time in Israel to preach the good news before the desolation came. But the 70 weeks ended 7 years after Jesus, the Messiah, showed up. Because the same prophecy said 69 weeks unto Messiah. And Jesus, wow, appeared 483 years later from the going forth of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. Jesus showed up on the scene. Jordan River baptism. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit. He was the Messiah. He was of age. He was 30 years old. Luke tells us he began to be 30. He was in his 30th year. He now qualified to take the place of high, to fill the position of high priest by the law. And then 3.5 years later, he performed the sacrifice of all sacrifices, the propitiation, the substitutionary atonement for our sins so that we could rise from the dead. Yes, he died, he went into the grave, but death couldn't hold him because he was without sin. He was the perfect, spotless Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And by faith, His blood, His death can be applied to your account because He could escape death. And He is our only hope. He is the Yahuwah is our salvation. Our Creator is our salvation. He provided the way to satisfy His justice and His mercy. It was the only way. There is no other way. No one, you can't propitiate your own sin. No one else can, no other son of Adam, except the one that was born of a virgin, who was not of the seed line of the seed of the man, but the seed of the woman. Because the seed of the man carries the corruption. Thus, everyone born of the seed of Adam is born in corruption and sin. That's why he had to be born of a virgin. Our only hope was for the new Adam, the new seed that God created in the womb of the woman. And he qualified not only because of his sinlessness, not only because he was born of a virgin, he qualified because he was a new seed. Because he wasn't born of the seed of Adam, but he was born of the seed of the woman. He qualified to be our kinsman redeemer. That's where I was going. That was my train of thought. Because he's one of us. He was born of the seed of the woman. And you go back to Genesis chapter 3, about verse 15, 16, 17, and read about the seed of the woman. Who is that if it is not the Messiah? Yahshua, Jesus, the Christ. Okay, you're listening to Cross the Border. Our Prophecy Reality Edition will return in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the Third Temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn, the Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the Third Temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the Scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a re-established Israel to build a Third Temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more, using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. It's our Prophecy Reality Edition. And we're talking about, well, I was looking at my mailbag here, and I was commenting on an email I got. Maybe I got a little carried away, but anyway, this guy's, every month, this guy, or a couple times a month, he comes up with the next date that Jesus is supposed to return. I don't get it. This guy has a website, it's something like, Warning the Bride or something like that. I don't know, but here is time sensitive. This occurs today, December 18th. Is that today? Oh, it's the 20th. Okay. Hanukkah midweek midnight. And he's got a YouTube there. He's a Sunday, December, and he's got it down to the seconds. It's just kind of bizarre. Maybe I should let you look at this. But nah. But the whole point is, this guy's caught up in all the Hebrew feast days, and so he says this is the same time that the sun, moon, and planets and stars are correct grouping to form the sign of the red dragon. Revelation 12:3. The formation dissolves over the next 24 hours as the moon moves out of its grouping. So he's kind of using Judaism holidays, because the Jews are the chosen people of God, and he's mishmashing that with astronomy and coming up when the rapture is going to happen continually. You see people doing this all the time. And it just goes on and on. They never give up. I keep sending this guy. He keeps emailing me. So I keep sending him, complimentary copies of my PDF books, but obviously hasn't sat down and read one yet. Otherwise he would stop this nonsense of, the rapture is going to happen. I'm sure I'll get one in the next week from him again, because of course, this date failed, so he must have been wrong. Yeah. So, but unless, whatever. You see what we're up against here with a lot of people. Let's see. Brett sent me he said, I just wanted to share. Oh yeah, this was pretty interesting what he sent me here. This is a Catholic website, 1peter5.com, rebuilding Catholic culture, restoring Catholic tradition. Just what we want, right? But anyway, this Bishop Schneider, we have already had an infallible response to the errors of Martin Luther, he says. Listen to what this guy says, because it's very telling. Bishop Anastasius Schneider at the Cosmos Club in Washington, D.C., after his October 20th, 2016 talk, and this was after the Pope announced that he liked Martin Luther and thought his reformation was great. He was asked about Pope Francis' statement that Martin Luther did not err on justification. That was a year ago at the onset of the 500th anniversary year, entering into the 500. It's over now. We've completed. We're now near 501 of the Reformation. But Pope Francis said Martin Luther did not err on justification. He responded in part, we already had an infallible response to the errors of Martin Luther. The Council of Trent. Yeah. The teaching of the Council of Trent about the errors of Luther, I repeat, are infallible ex cathedra. What's this stuff? Oh, doing me a favor there. Ex cathedra and the comments of the Pope in the plain are not ex cathedra. So what does this mean, that when Pope Francis said he was in the plane, when he said that he said, let me go back to his quote there, when he said that Martin Luther did not err on justification, he was speaking in the plane and not ex cathedra. Okay. And the popes of the comment in the plane are not ex cathedra. So that means that the Pope, whatever the Pope says, unless it's ex cathedra, that it's he can lie, or that it's not really true, but he's just saying it anyway. Or it's for public consumption, but may not be true because it's not ex cathedra. So you are warned that when the Pope speaks and when he says that, when he says all those nice things, when he showed up in the Lutheran church over there and wherever it was, I think it was in Germany. Oh, that's right. It was in Germany, wasn't it? Supposed to be where Luther, the Reformation began. So they had an ecumenical Reformation celebration there. And the Pope said nice things in this Lutheran church. Yeah, but it's not really true because he wasn't speaking ex cathedra. He was speaking in the plane. Whatever that means. So, gotta be careful. These Jesuits are tricky. You gotta just ask yourself when words are coming out of their mouth, is it ex cathedra or is it in the plane? Whatever that means. But anyway, I don't know how many people would want to see this, but I guess maybe I'll put a link in the chat room to that too. Otherwise, you can look it up for yourself. And that was, in case you're listening, you can look it up. Bishop Schneider says, we have already had an infallible response to the errors of Martin Luther. Okay? There you have it. Out of the words of the beast himself and one of his Jesuit priests there. Well, of course, we now have a Jesuit pope for the first time. So anyway, so we have a white pope and a black pope, and they're both from the same order. Boy, talk about harmony in the great church, huh? Corporate says ex cathedra is like pinky swear. No, it's in the plane that's like pinky swear. When they say it ex cathedra, they mean it. Kill them heretics! Burn them at the stake! That's ex cathedra. Oh, we love you guys. That's pinky swear. Or in the plane. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We are warned not to swear by anything but to offer. Yay, yay. Thank you, Corporate, for that in the chat room. Anyway, I just thought that was good. Gave me a nice chuckle there, but yeah, we know who they are. They proclaim it openly. Yeah, so if you're in the great whore church, come out of her, my people. If you're in there and you belong to Jesus, if you walk in that narrow road and you are born into that, come on out. Come on out. Of her, my people, he said. You know, you could open the Bible for yourself, for all our Latin American friends down there. Open it to Matthew chapter 7, and there you will read about the few and the many. And of course, Jesus says that the many are on the broad way that leads to destruction, and the road that, the narrow way that leads to life, you know, few there be that find it. And then, That's your macrocosmic view there of the world. And then he zooms in on the church, and he makes the same application to the church of the few and the many. He says, many will come to me in that day, and they will proclaim, well, hey, God, Jesus, didn't I, you know, teach the Torah? Didn't I wear the holy garb? Didn't I keep all the feast days and the Sabbaths? Didn't I heal the sick? And didn't I do many things, great and wonderful things in your name? And he says to the many that are telling him about all their good works that they did to earn their salvation, he says, many will come to me in that day, and I will say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. That's right. So you don't, even in the church, the visible church, take the visible church on earth. You can see a picture of this in old Israel. Most of Israel gone astray. What the prophets say, he said, there are none, Father. You know, he's talking to God Almighty. He says, there are none. And, well, see, the Almighty Christ, he says, I have yet 7,000 in Israel out of the tens of millions, hundreds of millions that were in Israel at that time. I don't know what the population was, but He said, I have yet 7,000 men in Israel that have not bent the knee to Baal. There's your few and many. And that's a picture of the church today. Few and many. So, take a look at the church, the visible church on earth, and you'll see that the biggest part of it, the most of the many, 2 billion adherents under the Pope of Rome, the usurper of the seed of Christ, Christ's self-proclaimed vicar on earth, the head over his church in his place, his great usurper, the papacy and his church headquartered at the Vatican, with the man of sin seated in the papacy. Yes, that's the many. That's the most part of the many. And God says to the many, he says, come out of her, my people. Get yourself a King James Bible and read the Gospels and then read the book of Acts and then continue reading that King James Bible all the way to the end of the book. And when you get to the end of the book, then go to the beginning and start reading in Genesis and read the history and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you through God's Word. God's Word is powerful, and His Holy Spirit will use it to cut to the quick, to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and set you on the road to life. You can enter His kingdom. What did Jesus say? Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. That's what He said. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. Let the light of the gospel shine into your darkness and repent. Allow His Holy Spirit to work that work of repentance in your life. Okay, well, let's see what else we got. Well, I want to thank everyone in the chat room, and especially the new people. I ask you to come back. Go to my website. You can see there's a link there. It says Visit Cross the Border. Go over there and click on the follow or subscribe button, whatever shows up, and make sure that you take advantage of the resources there. But thank all the new people for showing up. I hope you come back and tell others about it. Okay, and there's a share button. I think that's on the chat room page. When the show is live, that's the time to share it there. Or if you go to my website, you can share many. And this program will be edited and put up later on our YouTube page there. So posted on our blog at crosstheborder.org. Okay. Well, I don't know. What should we talk about now? I kind of I'm gonna work on some things. I'm gonna try to go through this week. And we're going to talk next week about some of those, what we were talking about there. Let me get it up here. Some of the fulfilled scriptures through Matthew. I'm thinking about, I'm going to answer this guy on his website that Fireman Mike brought me to. And I'm going to go through all of these fulfilled. And I'm going to answer him back. I'm going to give him a rebuttal. Of course, now he put someone else's rebuttal or something on his website, but it was very weak. You know, kind of someone who doesn't know what they're talking about kind of rebuttal, or someone who thinks they know what they're talking about, but they kind of failed miserably. But, you know, I laud them for at least trying to rebut this guy, but if your rebuttal's too weak, you kind of can just tear it apart, I guess. He didn't like my comments, though. Like I said, he would not answer questions that I asked him. He just deleted everything I put up. He didn't want people to see it either. Because I don't put up bad words or anything like that. I'm very kind and considerate. And I try to be very understanding and loving in everything I say when I respond to things on YouTube and stuff like that. So he had no reason to take my comments down except that he did not want his followers to see them. And like I said, then I noticed a pattern that he only allowed complimentary comments on his site. Anything that might bring any serious questioning, any serious thought or challenges, well, those have to be done away with. He doesn't want people thinking about those things that overthrow his specious arguments. And like I said, most of these, it's like flat earth. That's what it reminded me of. Just all specious arguments. Well, it looks flat, therefore it must be flat. Well, I'm sorry. You know, wouldn't matter whether the earth is flat or round, it still looks flat from us, you know, from where we're standing. It has no choice but to look flat. And I've explained that. And I've got actually the most trending article on my website right now. You can see that in the left-hand column if you go to crosstheborder.org there. Is a flat earth or spherical earth? What does the Bible say? So, most popular? Yeah. It brings people over and maybe they'll learn some more unpopular stuff. But, because in the flat earth movement, I'm not popular. That's for sure. There's people, they just want that earth to be flat so badly that, they just only believe their eyes and, this perspective and doesn't allow you to see a round earth. You can't see a round earth. Not from the surface of it. Not even from 1,000 miles up can you see a round earth. 1,000 miles up is not high enough. 1,000 miles? Did I say 1,000 miles? Well, I don't know. I've never been 1,000 miles. What are they? Yeah, 1,000 miles. What are they? The space station's like at 300 to 400 miles. You definitely can't tell if the earth is round from that distance. Because if you, like I said, if you set yourself in a swivel chair, like I have this swivel chair here, and you set yourself in the middle of a desert, about 100 feet up, so all you can see is sand, it's going to look flat. You swivel all the way around, guess what? It's flat out there all the way around, even though the earth is round. And if you have any brain power at all, you realize that whether it's flat or round, it would look the same. So you can't, by observation, tell that the earth is flat. Specious argument. Yeah, that kills that specious argument right there. And all it takes is a little logic and common sense to overthrow it. But I've got more than common sense there in that article on my website for anyone who's still clinging to the flat earth. You know, many of us are just iconoclastic at heart. We just want to tear down, you know, and some people go too far. They just want to tear down anything that's, what universally believed. Well, there's a lot of things that are universally believed that are true. So you can't just say, well, because it's universally believed, I don't want to believe it. You know, that's kind of what the flat earth thing is. Well, you know, and then they kind of blame NASA for lying about going to the moon. And they say, well, therefore, the earth is flat. Well, no, that doesn't prove the earth is flat. Okay. Let's see. Your name and where you're calling from, you're on the air.
Hi, Nicholas. Fireman Mike again. I wanted to thank you for addressing that issue, and I know we're running short on time here. I have a little bit of trivia for you.
Okay.
I'd find interesting. The reason that I put, oh no, Michigan in the chat when you said you were from Michigan is I'm from Ohio, and obviously there's a rivalry.
Right.
OSU and Michigan State, but it goes back a lot further than that, and you might find this interesting. In the 1850s, there was almost a war between Michiganders and Ohioans. I mean,
ooh,
a shooting war. People were arming themselves.
Wow.
And they were arguing over the location of the border between Ohio and Michigan. And Robert E. Lee, who was not yet a Confederate general, he was still in the United States Army Corps of Engineers, they sent him up there to determine where the border was. And he's the one that finally decided where it was, and it averted that shooting war. But, I mean, people were actually going to start shooting at each other.
Well, that's interesting. I never knew that.
Yeah, I thought you might find it interesting. Yeah,
Robert E. Lee part, that's interesting too.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah.
But good show, and thanks for everything, and I'll let you get back to it.
All right, Michael. Thank you for calling. Okay,
thank you.
Bye. Okay. Now we just got a few minutes here, so I'm just going to bid you all adieu. Make sure, like I said, you go to my website, crosstheborder.org. take advantage of my offer of free ebook there. Either ask for when the rapture will be canceled or when the third temple is built there, and especially when the third temple is built there for skeptics that are clinging to a rapture escape. They need that little booklet because I wrote it for them. So make sure you get a copy of it. If you'd like to buy multiple copies of it to pass out or give away, well, email me and I can have them shipped to you at printer's cost, okay? You can't buy them online at that price, but they're like $3 a piece or something like that, plus shipping. Also, we take advantage of a free shipping deal. Well, that's it. May the Almighty bless you each and every day as you walk in His kingdom on the narrow way to life. The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone. Absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately, and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.